Ed's in the Cloud.
With your hosts, David Portnowitz and Graham Potter.
Welcome to the third episode of
Heads in the Cloud.
Do you want to do that together?
Yeah.
Heads in the Cloud. That was bad.
Yeah.
I'm your co-host, David Portnowitz. I'm here with
Graham Potter.
And we are really excited today. We've got a great guest, Elka Popova, a VP and senior fellow at Frost & Sullivan, someone that we know really well. And we're excited to talk to her about some of the changing times here in the UCaaS industry.
You know what would be really cool to do, David?
What is that?
To ask Elka and put her on the spot and ask her what her thoughts are about this recent merger that's or acquisition that's coming up between Mitel and ShoreTel.
So. Or as some are calling it, Mortel.
It's like the
Brad and Angelina of the UCaaS space. We had Brangelina, now we have Mortel.
There we go. So interesting to get an analyst perspective on this. I've read a lot of things over the last week. I mean, the marketplace is abuzz with this, so it'll be interesting to see. But she's always very, very open and gives us some good feedback. And as you say, she's a good go-to person for you and your marketing team, I know.
Yeah, I mean, and the market has been, there's been a lot of disruption probably since Mitel was trying to acquire Polycom last year, right? I mean, that's sort of started a domino effect when we've seen Toshiba exit the industry. And we've seen Avaya, you know, is having some struggles from a bankruptcy standpoint. Mm-hmm. And all those things have sort of snowballed.
Has a ripple effect. And like we'll talk about later on, it has a ripple effect, I think, with our partners as well. So big part of this. So.
And I think it's going to continue. I mean, you know, the industry is ripe for mergers and acquisitions. And I don't think that's going to change over the next 12 to 18 months. I still think you're going to see more and more as companies try to consolidate technology. Yep. As you know, you've got maybe proprietary technology that maybe a company thinks could really add to what they already have on their stack. You know, I think that is, it's just going to get, there's just going to be more and more over the next 12 to 18 months. I don't see it changing. And I mean, there's so much disruptive technology out there that companies are going to want to be a part of it no matter how big or small they are.
Cool.
So I think, you know, one of the other things that, we're going to talk to Elka about too is sort of what's trending in the industry, and one of those things is embedded communication.
That's a big thing. I mean, I've seen some really cool from our own people, our own development teams, some very cool demonstrations of things that we're going to be able to put out into the marketplace and affect different verticals and what have you. So really interesting.
And so if you don't know what embedded communications are, what you're doing is you're taking, you know, business applications and connecting them to UC. Sort of software applications, and you're being able to embed those communication applications right inside your software, so you never have to leave your ERP.
Pretty useful if you give an example. Can you
CRM?
Give an example?
Yeah,
of that,
yeah, so. Exactly. So you know, let's say you're a call center, and you know you have a customer who buys something in store. Maybe they get a coupon from you,
clothing or something.
Yeah, They get a coupon maybe sent to their phone. Then they go into the store. They scan that coupon. And the store already knows you because they sent you the coupon and you use that coupon and it's got you, you're already in their marketing automation system. And then when you call in, maybe you have a problem with something you purchased, they already know you because you're calling from the same phone number that they sent the coupon to, and they can see what you've already purchased, and they have this history on you, and they can direct you to the right person at the call center who maybe specializes in the t-shirt you bought or the clothing line that you purchased, and they can see all your history. So you've got a chatbot on one end who's sending you a coupon that you can reply to. You've got the in-store QR code. You've got the contact center. All of that connected into one business application that the customer feels like they're being taken care of very easily. It's all seamless. And that on the back end, the company's got all that information right at their fingertips.
Big,
I think
big
that's,
value plus there, the customer's experience.
And I think there's a lot of really cool vertical applications that can be used. And I've seen some pop up in healthcare and retail. And I think we're going to see more and more of that. And it's those kinds of things that are driving the next wave in the UCaaS industry.
I mean, that's the way we'll go as a company. I'm sure we'll pick the specific verticals, and some of the things that I've already seen, we'll target those. And
yeah.
You mentioned one about clothing or whatever. I think
retail
will be interesting.
And I think the customer expects that, right? I mean, the customer, if they're calling, they there's an expectation that who they are.
Don't you find yourself doing that nowadays? I always watch. I mean, years ago I used to watch it with CLI. You know, when I call into a company, and they grab your caller ID, but then or they'll probably ask you to enter a number, maybe an account number or something like that. Or if you're calling a mobile company, maybe it's you're putting your mobile phone number in. Well, I always think you start to criticize, and you think, well, you've already grabbed that.
Yeah.
Or when in the agent, you get switched through to
a
live agent, and the agent asks the same question again. So, typically, if I'm in the mood for it, I get told off by my wife for doing this. But I'll ask him. I say, "Why do you ask me that? Because you've already asked me that up front. What's the purpose of doing that? Are you not using technology to do that?"
And many companies aren't.
No, they're not. And this, embedded communications takes it even further. It takes it a whole new, generation of. Communication. So that's really, really interesting. So those are the great things to be able to talk to Elka.
And we've also seen folks like Amazon get into this space too. I think we'll have a deeper dive on that in a couple of episodes later. But I think, when you see guys like Amazon get into this space too, it really opens some eyes, right? I mean, they're Amazon.
Monsters in the marketplace. Yeah.
So, I mean, they can afford to do what they want to do. They're launching rockets, never mind. So, and then returning those rockets on the same pad, which seems ridiculous.
That's scary.
Yeah, but very cool.
That's scary. Would you like to go to space, David?
I would not. No, I prefer to stay on the ground. I'm a ground kind
of
guy.
But you're part of Heads in the Cloud.
Well said. Well said, Mr. Potter. My head might be up there, but my feet are going to remain on the ground. Would you ever want to go to space?
Not really. I'm not a huge fan of going up in aeroplanes, to be frank. I mean, commercial flights, I'm not so bad about. It took me a while to get into smaller aeroplanes and whatever. Driving cars fast, boats and things like that, I'm fine with. But being
a race car aficionado.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with that. But being up there in the clouds, to me is you haven't got a tremendous amount of control about what goes on.
That would be the understatement of the year.
Yeah.
When you're flying on a commercial flight, you have no control.
That's true, especially when you've got people opening doors and jumping out of airplanes.
Or
it's like,
worse yet, taking their shoes off.
I know. Oh, yeah, that's bad.
Yeah.
Do you do that on planes?
I do not, no.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
I flew back just recently from New York, and I got to tell you, the leg room I had was like negative. I think my legs were facing the other direction. And then the guy leaned back. I hate the lean back, It's
you want to buy some of those little things, those wedges you can put in there so you can get. We'll see you on television next time around, Dave. You're getting into some big argument with somebody.
Get dragged off the plane. Hopefully that won't be the case. But anyways, we digress from our conversation. But we are really excited to be joined by Elka Popova now of Frost & Sullivan. She's going to get into all the things we just talked about. So let's go to that interview. I want to say a thanks to Elka Popova. We are joined by her today. Elka is the vice president and senior fellow at Frost & Sullivan. She is one of the leading analysts in the UC space, someone that we have a great relationship with here at Star to Star. She's been, she's a close friend of the pod, I would say. And she is someone that we have been dealing with since my first day here. I know, Graham, you've known her for a long time as well. And someone that we really respect. We talk to her all the time. Her opinion is very powerful in the industry, and I know a lot of people talk to her. And she's a power Twitter user. If you're not following Elka at E Popova on Twitter, then you're missing out.
It's great for you to have you join us, Elka. Really appreciate you joining Heads in the Cloud. Why don't you take for our audience? Why don't you take a couple of seconds and give a very quick bio on yourself? Would be useful for the audience.
Well, David and Graham, you were too generous in your praise for me. I'm humbled, and now I'm afraid to say anything because I may not live up to the standards that you set up for me. I am vice president of digital transformation here at Frost & Sullivan. I've been with the company for about 17 years, and throughout my pretty much entire career, I focused on what we used to call VoIP services. Originally, I covered some consumer services and companies such as Dialpad, Nexophone, some wholesale services and companies such as ITXT and iBasis. And then gradually, I became focused on the business communications market, which we call UCaaS today, or I still call it hosted IP telephony and UCaaS. And that's become my passion.
Well, that's awesome. And you know, we're really lucky to have you here, especially on the heels of what has been a pretty crazy last week in the UCaaS space, especially, you know, we have seen a ton of mergers and acquisitions, but this last one...
Dive straight in with a question that I know that's at the forefront of your mind, David. Do you want to jump on it or shall I? So it's really, you know, we're really interested in your take on the Mitel acquisition of ShoreTel and possibly who's next out there.
Yeah.
Well, okay, there's been a lot of, you know, speculation about the primary motivation behind the acquisition and the possible outcomes. We can only guess, you know, why Mitel chose ShoreTel, but in my opinion, it's certainly one way to boost their share in the UCaaS space. And I agree with the assessment they provided in their press release that this acquisition catapults them to the second position in terms of revenue for sure, and maybe second or third in terms of user base in North America. Globally, it's a slightly different picture because of a few larger providers, specifically Vodafone in Europe. In my opinion, the biggest factor here is, or the biggest benefit to Mitel, is the fact that they purchased, they acquired an addressable market. It's not just the current UCaaS user base that makes a difference. It's actually the existing premises-based customers, Mitel, ShoreTel, and even Toshiba's, that can be migrated to the cloud now with the various UCaaS offerings available within Mitel's portfolio. As you know, if you have a customer with a certain premises-based technology already deployed on their premises, it is a much more cost-effective path to the cloud to migrate them to a cloud solution based on the same underlying technology. And it's kind of a smoother transition. From a user point of view, it's the user interface, it's the admin interface that provide a migration path. So this is what I think is the biggest benefit for Mitel. And overall, they've demonstrated their intent to augment their organic growth through mergers and acquisitions, especially with the you know, declining premises-based base. They need to look for different ways to enhance their market position.
So it's interesting. I mean, as Starter Star as a company, we're 100% reliant on our partners. You know, we built this business on our channel programs and the sort of partners that we brought in when we started the business all those years ago in 2006. So I'm always very mindful of how this kind of acquisition goes down with partners. We've seen, you know, reactions. We get a lot of new partners coming into Starter Star every month.
We've had a ton coming from Toshiba.
We have, and so it puts a ripple effect through that partner base. So I wonder what you think the effect might be with the current Mitel and ShoreTel partners, Elka.
So, on one hand, partners do get a kind of broader portfolio to pitch to their customers, more options to provide to businesses looking to migrate to the cloud, or even businesses looking to still keep some of their solutions on the premises. But I do expect, and I'm seeing a little bit of, you know, concern and anxiety among some of the partners, because we expect Mitel to eventually rationalize the portfolio, to maybe select some of the solutions as the flagship technologies going forward. and others may be gradually grandfathered. So that will require some adjustment on the partner side, and they'll need to, tailor their skill sets and also kind of redirect their sales and marketing efforts. So I do think there will be a little bit of maybe churn in the partner community, but it's all about how Mitel manages to convey its intentions to the partner community and how they manage to manage their expectations.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I hate to, don't want to put you in the prediction game, but, you know, who's next out there, or is there a next? I mean, it seems like, you know, with all the acquisitions that have happened in the last 12 months, there's got to be more out there. You know, what else are you hearing? I mean, I think 8x8 said that they've been up for sale. I mean, it seems like we're in a constant state of flux nowadays.
That is true. And I'm sure there will be more mergers and acquisitions. And I see those happening on two fronts. On one hand, BroadSoft is the leading third-party platform provider for some service providers. And I am seeing consolidation within the BroadSoft space. On the other hand, I'm seeing also some providers looking to acquire proprietary solutions to gain a little more flexibility and maybe some cost efficiencies. But overall, it's such a fragmented market that it makes a lot of sense for the service providers to boost their market share through mergers and acquisitions.
Yep.
I'm just wrapping up my 2016 market analysis, and in North America, the leading providers are still below 10% market share. I mean, compared to the premises-based market, that's obviously a completely different picture.
Yeah.
Over 100 providers kind of competing for the customer attention and budget.
So it seems like, though, in the past 12 months, the market has really accelerated from companies switching from the legacy PBX to going to the more hosted or hybrid solution. So, you know, are you seeing that? Is that something, you know, because I know we've been predicting this transition for a long time. I've seen stats where you've got as high as maybe, 75% of companies that are still on a legacy system, and there's big opportunities out there for us and for our partners. Are you seeing a faster transition? Is it keeping up at the same pace? Like, what are you
I'm
seeing?
I wonder what the big drivers
yeah,
are.
Yeah, and what's driving that from a customer standpoint?
So the market continues to grow at a steady pace. Once again, in 2016, the installed base and revenues expanded at about 20-something percent, which is in line with my predictions and the overall trend I expect to see in the next few years. I'm kind of looking at it from a more short-term perspective. Long-term, it's very hard to predict. But if you look at it from a net new ads point of view, that is the net new users that the market has added in the past few years, then you can talk about acceleration because the base is larger, you know. And if you're maintaining the same growth rate in percentage terms, then that means that the providers are adding a kind of a larger number of net new users. Growth factors are in several different areas. Technologies are maturing. The UCaaS solutions that are available today offer a much broader feature set. Service providers are adding team collaboration, video, web conferencing, analytics, contact center, and other more advanced features to their service bundles. But also quality is improving. I'm seeing more and more a service provider focus on your redundancy, on enabling kind of quality control, quality monitoring with other tools as well. They're offering now overall more compelling services with better SLAs, more extensive industry compliance, HIPAA, FedRAMP compliance, specifications, and so on. So this is all kind of adding to the appeal of cloud solutions versus, you know, the more established premises-based offerings. Also, the admin and provisioning side, I'm seeing enhancements with better portals, more automated provisioning, more e-commerce for smaller businesses, whereas for larger businesses, I think providers are ramping up on their consultative services, onboarding, training, and other kind of support capabilities, obviously a big trend. I mean, we've been talking about mobility for a long time, and providers have tried to move a lot of their businesses to, not to move them, but to encourage them to adopt mobile clients. And I am seeing growth in that space, but I'm also seeing some interesting offerings with native dialers,
right,
which are appealing to many customers, you know, having kind of the mobile, the business mobile capability, being like a first-class citizen on your mobile device, is a different experience from having to switch apps and log in and log out and so on. But I'm seeing also a lot of consumer mobile playing a big role, and I think that consumer mobile, just plain voice, consumer mobile voice, but also WhatsApp and Viber and other applications, are going to maybe affect the low end of the market and kind of limit the penetration of the business-grade mobile clients in that area. You mentioned embedded communications, and I think that's a huge trend. I think in general, the innovation frontier within the UCaaS space has shifted towards enabling more and more integrations with third-party software, mostly business and productivity applications, but also specific vertical apps and so on. And this is so that communications can now more significantly impact workflows, actually, you know, deliver more tangible business outcomes. But the trend in the past has been mostly to focus on the communications client as the primary interface. I think in the future, we're going to see more and more embedded communications within other applications like Salesforce and SAP HANA and so on. And these embedded communications may not be providing the full PBX functionality, a full UC feature set, but they will be right where the users need them the most and within the applications they live in. So that's one of the probably most significant trends we're going to see in the future.
Cool.
And it's
going
to be related to IoT.
And you mentioned that in your article about the Mitel-Shortel merger was one of the reasons, one of the main reasons maybe that Mitel was interested in Shortel was Shortel's CPaaS platform. So I think, you know, that's an area that's really caught our eye too. And I know that, you know, we are working really hard on our communications enablement platform, you know, and we think that's really the way of the future.
Yeah, we've seen some pretty cool things from that.
And I think, you know, one of the things that I'm interested in on your take there is, do you think that's going to be more of a vertical play? So do you think that there is going to be, that there are going to be these embedded communication applications that are, you know, for healthcare or for retail or for manufacturing, or are they universal, or maybe is it a mix of both?
I think it will be a mix of both. We're seeing a lot of embedded communications through CPaaS, mostly in customer care. And I do think that there will be a lot of hybrid implementations, especially in distributed organizations, but also businesses that want to, ensure maybe greater local survivability, greater service reliability, security reasons may also play a huge role. And once again, maybe one of the significant trends that I expect to see is a lot of competition from consumer services at the very low end.
Right. The hybrid thing certainly resonates with us, as you know. I mean, that's what we've been about since we started the business all those years ago, and now people really understand what that's all about. So
yeah, I mean, that's
it's a unique value proposition.
Yeah,
I think
unique,
so.
Unique architecture. I think you have a very strong differentiator in the marketplace.
Yeah, and I think our partners, you know, that was one of the main reasons they flocked to us. You know, they came to us looking for a different solution, looking for something a little bit more unique. You know, and that's served us really well, especially in that distributed enterprise space where we have some very large customers there. So, you know, one thing that I wanted to ask you about, Elke, is what is life like living in Toronto? I mean, just, you know, in Canada, we're down here in the States.
I've only been there once.
We're slumming it down here in Florida. You know, how beautiful is it up there in Toronto?
Toronto is a great city in July.
Sarasota is beautiful pretty much, you know, 24/7, I think, right, Grant?
You got the best beach.
That's the best beach, yeah.
Well, I need a winter house in Sarasota.
There you do. There you go.
We'll put you up right here in our office. I got a space for you.
We got plenty of space.
Yeah, we got plenty of space.
David's got a really big office, so.
That's why I love you guys. Always ready to accommodate.
Well, we really appreciate you taking some time out today, Elke, and answering some questions for us. And hopefully we can do this again in the near future. I will make sure we also get you a Heads in the Cloud a t-shirt. We've got those on order. So we're gonna send you one of those. Make sure you wear it loud and proud out in Toronto.
Personally autographed by David and myself.
That will only bring down the value of the shirt.
Elke, thank you so much.
Thank you, David and Graham.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, Elke. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You too.
So we just had a fantastic conversation with Elke. I mean, she is, whenever I have a question and I need help, I go to Elke first. I mean, she's awesome. Frost and Sullivan has done some really great work with us, and we love those folks. So, you know, we're right on the heels of a big merger. There's
probably
more coming.
Yeah, we got to ask her the question directly, which I thought was great. And, you know, I mean, so many people, there's so much buzz about this Mitel and ShoreTel, the acquisition. I read an interesting article earlier on this week from Dave Michaels, I think it was, and I think the comment was, you know, who else should have bought ShoreTel? And I mean, listed names like Avaya, NEC, Unify, Vonage. So the marketplace is abuzz with that.
Yeah. You know,
and Elke really kind of put some thought behind
what
they're going to get, some perspective on what they actually get out of it. So really, really
interesting. Well, Mitel's been in the news too. I mean, Mitel was going to acquire Polycom last year,
and that fell through.
So, I mean, they've been looking to make a move now for a while. Well, and ShoreTel, it does make sense. I mean, they have, you know, the technology is similar. Mitel's been that legacy on-prem, and the ShoreTel's got that big cloud space. So I think
which was part of an acquisition a while back
Yeah.
And I mean, the way the market looks at that is that they view that as being the newer kind of cloud technology that's out there. So interesting to see. I mean, Mitel acquired Astra some time back as well. So the company's, you know, grown through several.
It'll be interesting to see what happens over the next 12 months. And like Elke said, there's definitely going to be some more, you know, companies looking to consolidate in BroadSoft, or companies looking for proprietary technology, you know, whatever that case is, you know, there's going to be more out there as, you know, as this space sort of becomes more and more smaller, you know, it's just.
Yeah, it's an interesting time to be in the market and to see these things happening. I mean,
the growth has been great, and
a lot of unrest for people. We talked a bit about
the partners,
channel partners, you know, and something that's very near and dear to our heart, Star to Star. And obviously, there's a feeling out there, or just a concern. We've seen that with other companies, and we obviously get to see partners on a regular basis. So, you know, it's. Interesting to hear her perspective on
it. It's a fun time to be in this space.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. All right.
Well, thank everyone for joining us today. Hopefully you'll join us next time for Heads in the Cloud. I'm David Portnoy.
It's been a fun episode. My name's Graham Potter.
Great
that you can join. Thank you.
Bye.